Hello and welcome to the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. My name is Mark Roberts, and tonight I'll be going over the major news of the day and also looking at the performances from Wednesday night's slate of games. And tonight I am joined by guest host Michael Catron. Sorry.
No, Michael. That's all right.
And you prefer Mike, actually, so sorry. Yeah, both of your names. I'm sorry.
No, that's quite all right. People at work don't even say my last name right, so. Saying it once, I'm not offended at all.
Thanks, man. I'm excited to talk with you, Mike. Mike, do you want to just share with the listeners where they can what you do kind of each week in the fantasy community? I know for one, I really enjoy reading your articles.
Thank you.
And if any of our listeners aren't reading your articles, I certainly want to direct them that way. So why don't you tell us? I think you kind of have a set rotation of articles that you write each week, and why don't you tell people kind of what you do and where they can find your work?
Sure. Yeah. So I kind of got started last year writing about box scores, and people seemed to like it, but it was a little bit overkill.
You started on Reddit, didn't you?
That's where I first
found your stuff.
Yeah, I just started kind of writing about box scores in a self-Reddit post, and people seemed to like it, so I was like, oh, maybe I could write about this on a website. So you can find all my stuff on watchtheboxes.com, and you can tweet at me at watchtheboxes.com. I wanted to keep it real simple. It's just watchtheboxes.com.
I really like that name, by the way. This is why, even though you and I have talked before on Twitter, I didn't know your full name until tonight, because I've always just known you as the Watch the Boxes guy.
Yeah, I don't know if it's if I should change that to my actual name.
I like it, man.
It's a catchy name. The website isn't manicured very well. It's just a hobby of mine. But this year I'm writing a drop column. So who's owned in? I went with Yahoo leagues because apparently I went with ESPN leagues and people were like, ESPN doesn't represent very well. So all right, whatever you guys want. So I went with.
Did Yahoo they use that league. Voice? Not very nice.
They found my home phone number and called me.
It was horrible. Not nice at all. Yeah.
So I switched to Yahoo rankings for percentage owned because people were mad about the ESPN stuff. So I do that every Tuesday, though I did drop one on Wednesday today. So the one I made today actually had all the drops from the week before. So I was like, why haven't you dropped these people? You need to get rid of Joakim Noah.
So who was on the list today? Joakim Noah, can you give us any other teasers?
Sure. I'll read them all.
You don't have to read them all. Just, we want people to go read your stuff.
Oh, yeah, go to the website. Yeah, I'm not good at just giving them the stuff away.
Give away the milk if you want people to buy the cow.
Not driving traffic at all. I got Joakim Noah as – I think people were kind of back on the bandwagon because he was going to get a start.
Yeah.
I just don't feel like that's a good idea. D'Angelo Russell, who's had a decent night tonight, I'm not buying on that guy. Okay. I don't think he's good, and I don't think the Lakers are good. But the column is also about people who are questionable, who they're on a team, they should be owned, but they're just not performing up to standard.
Okay.
One of the main guys I talked about was Joe Johnson. He's after a really slow start, and I think it is just a slow start, but there's some interesting numbers about his usage rate and how long he's been in the league that are kind of pointing towards a regression. And he's never been he hasn't been an outstanding fantasy player in 4 years.
Right.
So if you have Joe Johnson, it's kind of saying, maybe don't drop him, but maybe look into suckering into someone to trading Joe Johnson for one of them.
And so does that just go, is that, that just goes up on your site?
Yeah, that's on my site exclusively. And so is the waiver wire column that I usually write on Wednesdays, but I'll be putting it out tomorrow. And that's anybody Yahoo leagues who's owned in under 60% of leagues. And I kind of lay it out to standard leagues, big leagues, and deep leagues. And I also I usually talk about the picks that I made wrong the last week. like, yeah, I was Willie Cauley Stein. Maybe I was a little aggressive on that, but he still has potential, stuff like that. Because
that's, you know, that's my favorite article that you put up. I use, that's the one I always make sure I read. Okay.
Yeah, it's all educated guessing. So, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
People who don't say, hey, I was wrong about this, doesn't make any much sense to me.
Believe me, we all have our John Jenkinses, so.
I know. You guys tricked me on that. I blame you guys for me getting hyped on John Jenkins.
That was entirely my fault. And by the way, I still think he's really good as far as he could be a fantasy producer. It's just the minutes, but.
Yeah, if he ever gets minutes, he'll be fine.
Yeah, absolutely. And does that, when is that exclusive on your website as well? Or
yeah, that waiver
somewhere else too.
That waiver column, I usually post these on Reddit because people like to read it there too. Mm-hmm. And then I link to the site if people want to read more of my stuff. And I also link to, I do a weekly preview for #basketball. I actually rank the teams. I take pace and defensive efficiency, and I calculate that into an opponent rating where then I list the opponents for each team. And that's how I rank the teams for the week.
Oh, very cool.
I'm not sure if that's a great metric, but it's a start for a metric. I want to tweak it a little bit here and there. And that goes up on #basketball every week for a preview, but I link to it on my site as well.
So there it is. Go a lot. Should be some interesting, intriguing stuff for our listeners. I would hope that you would, just based on those descriptions, want to go check those things out.
Yeah, check it out. Give me feedback.
Yeah. You're open to feedback. If people call your home phone, we'll give that home phone number out at the end of the show and they can call you.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
They can give you feedback directly that way. That would be great. Mike, just so we can get to know you a little better, why don't you share with our listeners who your favorite NBA team is and maybe your favorite NBA player?
Sure. Well, I'm from Illinois. I was born in the 80s, so I'm a Chicago Bulls fan. Mm-hmm. I live in Chicago, so I follow the Bulls religiously. I did have a brief love affair with White Chocolate, Jay Will on the Kings.
Who didn't?
During the Bulls down years, I was like, well, you know.
Is that the Eddie Curry or the Tim Floyd years? I don't know. Which one do you refer to him as?
That's Tim Floyd. I'm a homer enough to buy into the Eddie Curry years. Those were some decent years.
Oh no.
Yeah, I know.
So who's your favorite NBA player?
Well, I mean, as a Bulls fan in the 90s, you got to go Michael Jordan. I just think that's way too cliche.
No. Who's your current favorite player?
Joakim Noah. I love Joakim Noah.
Even though you want to drop him, he's still your favorite.
I'm sad that he's past his prime a bit, and he's just not utilized in the offense the way he could be. But I love Joakim Noah. He's the guy that everyone hates that's on the other team that you love to have on your team. And he's kind of like the epitome of what Chicago looks for in a basketball player. He works his butt off every single game, and he's pretty annoying. And he's incredibly talented for who he is and his size. And the fact he was fourth in MVP voting just couple years ago.
Yeah, it's been a weird decline.
And I gave him a fist bump once. That's the real reason.
Well, yeah. You buried the lead there.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, hopefully that helps you get to know Mike a little bit better. And man, you know his writing is unbiased. If he tells you his favorite player is Joakim Noah and then is writing that you should drop him in the same day.
It hurts my heart. Oh. It really does.
All right, Mike. Let's get into the news of the day here. Sure. And it's been a little while, so this might be. I tried to gather the big news from the last couple of days because we did have those kind of unique podcasts where we talked about the legal aspects facing daily fantasy. And if you haven't listened to those and you want to kind of understand what's going on in daily fantasy sports from a legal aspect, just last night we had two legal experts, two attorneys on talking about daily fantasy sports and the legal issues going on in New York. So if that's your jam, go check it out. If you want to talk straight basketball and box scores, keep listening here. All right. Mike, Kevin Durant underwent an MRI that confirmed he has a strained left hamstring. He'll be out a minimum of 7 to 10 days, and then he will be reevaluated. That means he's going to miss 4 or 5 games.
Yeah.
What's your reaction to that?
Not great for people who own Kevin Durant, right? This is one of those things where it's like when you have an injury to a major player, what is your move? And it's very different between roto and head to head. Head to head, you're bleeding games.
Yeah.
With roto, you hopefully have somebody on your bench who can maintain while that guy's out. The reevaluating 7 to 10 days is also not exciting news about that either. We just don't know. I mean, you just had 3 foot surgeries. Did they not hire anyone better in their medical staff?
Well, the Thunder are notoriously tight-lipped as far as injuries go. So that's what makes me mostly nervous about this. If it was just he's out 7 to 10 days and he'll be back, just because it was a slight tweak in his hamstring, but we want to make sure nothing lingers, so we're just going to hold him out for a week. If that would have been the story, I would have been like, oh, yeah, that's great. Let's just make sure the dude is healthy. Because they're notoriously not forthcoming with information, at least from my experience, this makes me nervous as what's really – is there something bigger going on? And this is just speculation, of course. But I am nervous giving, you know, those foot surgeries you mentioned. Just a weird situation there with, like – situation, and I don't know. I'm nervous about it.
Yeah, it's a weird announcement to not just come out and say, "Oh, we're gonna rest him, reevaluate," but instead we don't know. 7 to 10 days later, we're gonna try to figure it out in a week.
Is there anybody that goes into your waiver wire ad column based on this news? Like anybody on the Thunder that you think gains a bunch of value in the next 7 to 10 days at least?
Yeah, I was looking at that game in the second half there with Durant out. They did seem to play Kyle Singler more, and Roberson got more minutes than usual. Do I really want to add either one of those guys to a standard league that I'm not streaming? Probably not.
Right. I mean, the real answer probably is that what Russell Westbrook picks up most of.
Yeah, he's about to go insane. So pick him up in if you play daily, pick him up in your daily.
Yeah. All right. I wish we had more news for you there. If you know, there's nothing you can do with Kevin Durant. I guess you could sell him if you could get 95 cents on the dollar. I might consider that, but I'm probably like, I'm not doing that. In the leagues that I have Kevin Durant, I'm just going to hold on to him and hope that it's just he's out a week and then he's
back. He's too good to shop unless you're going to get someone like AD or a top 5 player back. So just, you're going to have to take it if he's hurt longer, but it's worth the wait because he's worth 2 people by himself. So,
yeah. Other bad news, Mike, Wilton Chandler sources. I think Woj, was it Woj who announced this?
Yeah, I think it was him.
Looks like he's going to be out for the season after having surgery on his hip.
That is depressing for him.
Yeah, that's too bad. I mean, good news was he signed a 4-year contract extension in the offseason. So from that aspect, a good move by him. Is there anybody that you think – I mean, where do you think his minutes go?
Well, tonight – not to skip ahead, but looks like Gary Harris got the start. I think those minutes are between Gary Harris and Will Barton.
Yeah, and I guess we've kind of seen that already because – and we can open up that box score here on the screen. We've kind of seen that already because Wilton Chandler has not played yet.
Yeah, he's not – he really hasn't done much in his limited time. Did he play last game? I'm not following the Wilton Chandler saga.
I might be wrong. I don't think he's played this season. I don't think Is that right? I think that's right.
We should know these things. We're supposed to be experts.
I have never claimed to be an expert.
Fair enough.
I'm just the loser who is willing to talk about it every night. Let's see. No, I think his game log shows nothing. I don't think he's played yet this season.
Well,
So I guess, I mean, I think that just means Gary Harris, who maybe would have been at risk to lose his job, keeps it. Guys like Will Barton continue to be sort of on the peripheral of standard leagues. You can pick him up if it fits your league strategy, I would say. But I don't think this changes anything. It just more solidifies the rules that we have seen.
Yeah, if you're holding on to Chandler, obviously, time to pick somebody up.
I like Will Barton. Absolutely.
I think Will Barton has kind of sneaky value. He's super inconsistent and he's not getting minutes, but he's had a few games where he's put up some really nice lines. When they gave him the starting job, let me, if I go to it, he played almost 30 minutes, I think. And he's currently ranked, he played 40 minutes. But in those leading up to those games, he had a 19-5-8 game with 2 steals. So he can shoot threes. He can get a steal a game. He's a little frisky with the rebounds. If he could get the starting job and play minutes, I like Will Barton as like a standard league player.
Yeah,
that's a big if, I guess, but.
Yeah, I actually picked him up in one 12-team league that I had a spot to burn. But I didn't go like rush out to pick him up everywhere.
No, he's a consideration if you're in a bigger league for sure.
Yeah. Anthony Davis did not play on Wednesday night. He had a hip injury that happened in the previous game. No word yet on how long he will be out. So, let's just cross our fingers that doesn't last as long. I don't think there's any more news to it than that, just that he was going to miss Wednesday's game, and we'll wait and see.
Yeah, I don't want to live in a world with no AD or KD.
Yeah, unfortunately. I mentioned this on Twitter, and I don't take any joy in it because I love Anthony Davis. I love watching him. But the reason, in the preseason, everyone told us on our site we were dumb because we didn't rank Anthony Davis as a no-brainer number one pick, and it's certainly not his production. He's fantastic. It's just this is what holds back his fantasy value. And I'm not saying he's a wuss or anything. Like, it's just his inability to be as durable as some of the other players, whether if that's just New Orleans's in propensity to treat him with kid gloves and hold him out when he needs to, or his I don't know what it is, but
yeah,
he's played 70 games this in his career ever in a season, and it's frustrating that he's missing games already.
Well, there was an article written, I don't remember who it was, that talked about the kind of like the butterfly effect of having an injured team. When your trainers and your staff are focused on people who are actually injured, the training and the preparation for people who aren't injured
type stuff.
Yeah, the prevention type stuff kind of takes second fiddle to the people who are actually injured, which can lead to more injuries. So I don't know if that is
that's a really interesting point.
But I thought it was an interesting article.
Yeah, and obviously they've been ravaged by injuries so far.
Yeah, but AD, I had him. I told everybody to take him first pick. I didn't care. I don't like to play, was it he's injured all year type of games before I draft, especially with someone that good. If he can put a season together, he will be the best player in fantasy basketball. If he can play more games with that kind of talent, I'm willing to take that risk.
Fair enough. I hope he doesn't sit out for your fantasy playoffs. Nikola Vukovic, he came back on Wednesday night. He played off the bench. He returned from a knee injury. Looks like, and I've got a box score up here to show, Dwayne Dedmon did start. He only played 13 minutes. Vukovic played 26 minutes. He shot 16 times, scored 18 points, had 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 block. Unless we get more news here, I think it's deploy Vukovic as usual. Even if he's coming off the bench, it looks like he's still going to be the starter here, or at least play starters minutes.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Vuk. He looked good. He made the game winner. He had a fadeaway game winning shot. It was a weird night of centers making game winning or almost game winning shots.
Because Zeller made it in Charlotte, didn't he?
Yeah, he tipped it in, and then my man, ladies love Porzingis. I love that guy. He's got all these Porzingis looks really, really good. But like right before the season, he had like two articles where he's talking about the ladies. Like he's like, ladies loved my cornrows. They thought it was hot. And it's like, why does he keep talking about ladies? It's really strange. So I'm calling him LL Porzingis or LL Zingus.
I hope it catches on. I love Porzingis.
Yeah, I love that guy. He drained a three. They ran a play for him and he drained a long three to win that game. And he released it like 0.1 second late.
That's heartbreaking.
It's a really good sign though, for people who own him. If he's available in your league, pick him up.
Oh gosh. Anybody who's listened to this podcast and has let Porzingis sit on the waiver wire this long should be ashamed of themselves.
I agree.
Aaron Aflalo returned in that same game from a hamstring strain, and this was his season debut. He played 28 minutes. He had 12 points on 6 of 13 shooting, grabbed 6 rebounds, and had an assist. What's your take on Aflalo?
I don't like Aflalo, and maybe it's just a bias, perhaps, but he's kind of a one-dimensional fantasy player.
In what way? Like,
kind of. Let me pull him up.
We can even look at his. I don't disagree, by the way. I want to make sure we understand what you're saying here.
Aaron Aflalo. So he was he just does enough to be relevant, but he doesn't do anything that's particularly great. He's kind of just a one. He scores a little bit, and he makes some decent threes.
Yeah, and I wondered if that's where you're going, because I think that's the common perception that people have about him is, hey, at least he scores a little bit for you. But, you know, the 14 points or the 10 points he averaged last year, I mean, I guess you can find him. It's like, what, 12 or 13? That doesn't count as being good at a category.
No, that's being adequate. That's
replacement level. Like, you don't pick up a guy to get 12 or 13 points a game. So I'm not sure he's above replacement level at anything for New York. Maybe steals. Is that even true? I might be misremembering. Is he good at steals? No, he's not even good at. He's very poor at steals.
He's not good at steals. The only thing he's maybe three good at, he makes a three and a half a game ish or a little more.
Yeah.
Okay. There's got to be someone on your waiver who makes two.
Yeah.
In most standard leagues.
If that's what you want, go pick up Isaiah Cannon.
Yeah. And also, with him out, guys like Langston Galloway and Jaron Grant have proven they're not that bad. So is he going to waltz right back into to 32 minutes an evening? Or are they going to leverage Galloway and Grant and have a timeshare there? So even if he was playing 32 minutes, he's okay at 32 minutes. Yeah. If he's playing 26, I'm not rostering him in any standard league.
Yeah, I didn't run out and stop everything I'm doing to go pick him up tonight in any leagues. Have you picked him up anywhere?
No, not even in some deeper ones. It's there's just nothing there. And I do, like we kind of talked earlier, I play a lot of roto leagues. Mm-hmm. So, cause we're the old school. We've been playing for years. I've been playing since on record, apparently since 2002, on Yahoo. And I had Jalen Rose on my team. I went and looked at it earlier. What a great year.
You went and looked at your 2002 roto team.
I have a fantasy basketball problem. and it's well documented, apparently. But yeah, like I want a guy who does more than just scores or gets some rebounds. I need him to do a bunch of things, especially in those rare categories like steals and blocks. Aflalo doesn't really do any of that.
And again, I don't even think you can say he scores enough to care about.
No.
He just doesn't hurt you in that category. I don't think he helps you in the standard league. I do want to ask you about one more guy in this game. But first, I want to read a note from our friends over at No Halftime who were kind enough to sponsor our podcast. Thanks, No Halftime. Mike, I got a question for you. Have you ever looked at your weekly fantasy basketball opponent and thought to yourself, I would love to challenge just one of his players rather than his entire team?
Yeah, there's always a really terrible player on the other team.
You would like to just isolate that one guy and hammer your opponent?
Yeah. You probably had Aaron Aflalo starting.
Yeah. Well, yeah, pretend your opponent had Aaron Aflalo and you just wanted to pit him against one of your awesome players. And you've never been able to do that until now. The No Halftime app allows you to create individual challenges using players or teams. For example, you could pit Anthony Davis versus Aaron Aflalo if you could get your opponent to accept that challenge. And that would be great. I think you would have a very good chance of making money in that case.
Not in the next game, but in the long term. That's a great investment.
Yeah, maybe you could bait him into doing it for the first game that Davis was out and then play like 3 out of 5 or something.
Oh, that's a great idea.
There's a lot of interesting things you could do here. You could do a little more fair, like you could do LeBron versus Carmelo Anthony. But the great thing is these challenges take just seconds to make and they're even easier to accept. They can be public or private. So you can do it just between, you know, you and I could do a challenge, or you could put one onto the app that a bunch of people could accept. They do all sorts of different sports, NFL, NBA, MLB, which obviously isn't going there right now, hockey, college football, college basketball, and even other sports. You'll have to log in to find out what those other sports are. So join today and get started. And just as a special bonus for listening to our podcast, if you download the app and use the promo code BBALL, that's BBALL, you can get a bonus $25. So great way to get started if you want to give it a try. Enter the promo code and you can get the free $25 to get started. And you can challenge Mike and see if he'll take a bet for you with Aaron Aflalo.
If anyone wants to challenge me, I'll take anyone against Aaron Aflalo, basically. Yeah, I got actually a few head-to-head player bets with friendly wagers with Greek Freak versus Middleton.
Oh, very cool. You'll have to let us know how those come out. Hey, the guy I wanted to talk to you about in this game, and I feel like has flown under the radar and has had a not great season, is Al Jefferson.
Yeah.
Like, I've had a lot of people yell at me about a lot of different players that we didn't realize were going to be as bad as they are. I have not heard a lot about Al Jefferson, but listen to his so his season so far. Let me make sure let's see. I'll just read you his November stats. 27 minutes per game, 15 points, including 4 points tonight and 9 points in his previous game, 6 rebounds, 1 block, and 0.5 steal. That's not Al Jefferson that we know and love. At least that's not the Al Jefferson I would have drafted in any of my leagues.
No. I used to love Al Jefferson. I kind of wrote about him at the beginning of the year, and I said, well, he sounds like he's in shape. He's due for a bounce back season.
He quit eating the chicken, right?
Yeah.
We're all like, happy that he lost 30 pounds.
What a great move at the age of 30. I should probably do the same thing.
maybe we need to get him eating more chicken.
Yeah. That maybe his beastly size was his benefit. Like it came to his benefit in the low post. I just think he's starting a little slow. He hasn't played. He's playing 26 minutes.
That's the real weird thing, right? Like, why is he playing? I can't say I've watched a ton of the Hornets, but when I watched him, he looks okay. Like, it doesn't look like he's obviously taken a step backwards. It's just the fact that, you know, 2 years ago, he scored 22 points and had 11 rebounds a game. He had a steal and a block, which is tremendous.
Yeah.
But he was playing 35 minutes a game. So I feel like he could approach those numbers if they gave him the minutes again. I just don't understand why they're not playing him as many minutes.
Yeah, I'm not sure, especially if he's supposed to be in the best shape of his life. I'm a little worried about their style, and this kind of alludes to something, another big man who's kind of underperforming, who's less, attractive, is Marcin Gortat. Both Charlotte and the Wizards are playing a very different style of basketball than they did last year. I think Charlotte was one of the lowest three-point shooting teams in the league, and now they're jacking threes, and so are the Wizards. And it seems like their centers have kind of struggled for because of that new style of play. I don't know if there's a correlation there, but there's higher pace, bigger guys running the floor, less offensive rebounds, perhaps. There are little intricacies that could kind of take Jefferson and Marcin Gortat a notch lower than they should be because of the style of play. I'm right. kind of looking more into that because there seems to be somewhat of a pattern there.
So if I own Jefferson or Gortat for that matter, because I think he's kind of seen the same sort of a thing, it seems like, I think it's fair to say that they aren't worse players, at least on a per minute basis, but their role is in question. So do you feel like it's a good time to try to buy low on them, or should I be trying to get rid of them for whatever I can get?
It's a little early to get rid of anybody. If you feel particular, I'd feel more particular about Jefferson. I think a lot of Marcin Gortat's value is the fact that he played 81 games last year,
mm-hmm.
and he was always getting 13 and 9 every single night and a block every single night. That adds up. Jefferson can really put stats together. Like you were saying, you know, 2 years ago, 21 and 11. Even last year, you know, 16 and 8. That's pretty decent. I'd say they're buy low. Jefferson's more of a buy low opportunity than Gortat. I'm not sure what Gortat's going to do for the rest of the year. It doesn't look good considering if he needs the minutes to just be over that hump. I think he's around that 90-100 area, while last year Jefferson was in the 50s, I think 48, and he was 2 years ago up in the ranked 16th. So mm-hmm. he's got better potential. I'd say buy low on Jefferson if you're going to get him for a good low player. Don't throw a relative player at him. Go for that 90. Like if you have Marcin Gortat, that's a great guy to trade for. Jefferson, I like Jefferson's potential to bounce back right now. It's too early to be too worried about it.
All right. A couple other notes. We'll switch over to the Lakers game. Kobe Bryant did not play again. He continues to deal with back injury, or not necessarily back injury, but back issues.
Just a rest, yeah.
I think this is his second or third game he sat out. No word on when he's going to be back, but go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, you'd think someone would step up, or the Lakers would be better without him on the court. But
Well, you mentioned D'Angelo Russell had one of his better games, I guess, tonight. He played 31 minutes. He had 14 points on 6 of 15 shooting, hit a couple of threes, had 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal and a block.
Yeah, that's a really good line. It's also the first really good line of his career. maybe a little harsh considering he's only played a few games.
And Jordan Clarkson really struggled tonight as well. He only played 26 minutes. He scored only 4 points on 2 of 7 shooting. He had 5 assists and 2 rebounds. So really, other than that 5 assists, there's not much you like there.
These guys are all kind of the whole backcourt in the Lakers is just a mess. They're streaky. There's very little consistency in playing time and performance. Really, Julius Randle's the only guy I really like on that team. And Lou Williams is the most consistent guy in the backcourt.
Yeah, that's probably true. Although I like that you said it with a question mark, because that's probably appropriate.
Yeah, so for some reason, I mean, what year is it? I'm thinking about picking up Marcus Thornton or Lou Williams, and Marcus Thornton's better than Lou Williams. It's a weird thing to say in 2015.
Yeah, the other interesting thing from this game on the Magic side. So we mentioned Magic won. We kind of jumping around here a little bit, but back to the Magic. Mm-hmm. Shabazz Napier got 30 minutes tonight, and he put up 22 points. And on 8 of 16 shooting, he had 5 three-pointers, 3 assists, and a steal. Are you buying that at all? Like, is that something that you think we could see more of in the future?
Well, if you notice, Oladipo did go out. He only played 7 minutes. and I haven't heard any news about his injury.
He had concussion-like symptoms during the game.
Oh, yeah, concussion. That was right.
That's a good point. I actually kind of blanked that, even though I had it written in my notes here. So if Oladipo is out, would you consider streaming in Napier based on his performance?
Definitely. I think they obviously want to run him in the offense. It's not like they haven't played him yet. It's not they were desperate and he was kind of hot. They've added him in a few games, if I could bring up his game log. They have played him 16 minutes in a couple games. A couple games they've barely played him, but he is someone, if with that kind of line, why wouldn't they trust him to go another game if Oladipo is out? Mario Huizenga's, everyone's favorite rookie, is another guy to look for in that situation.
I'm disappointed he only played 19 minutes with Oladipo on the bench.
Yeah, what do you make of the fact that he's played 20 some minutes in the starter and they're running plays for him and then they just completely went away from him?
Well, the reports were that they almost started him the first game, and so I picked him up in advance of that. And then, we all saw them like running crunch time plays for him. Not that it went particularly well, but you think like,
yeah,
I guess you don't expect a rookie's first game to be the biggest amount of playing time they get all season. I think Skiles though is trying to fill out his rotation. I don't think you pick up Hazonia. If Oladipo's out, I just don't think he's shown the willingness to play him. And the fact that he would play Shabazz over Hazonia, I think is everything you need to know right there.
Yeah, it's very strange. Hazonia is getting more minutes on the season on average, but with Oladipo out and him and Peyton kind of being the primary ball handlers, looks like Shabazz is a decent enough ball handler to play. So right now, Shabazz Napier is the streaming guy if Oladipo's out, that I would go with. But I don't think Oladipo will be out more than a game.
Yeah, I mean, you never know with concussions, but let's hope not.
Yeah.
The other guy returning from injury tonight was Terrence Jones in Houston. And the Rockets actually lost to the Nets tonight, which was really surprising. The Nets picked up their first win in Houston.
Does Houston have any more embarrassing losses that they need to get out of their way?
They were like the people's champion in the preseason, but
I know. And then 3 20 point losses. And I don't know what's worse, losing by 20 to anyone or losing to the Nets.
I don't know what's worse, losing to the Nets or losing 3 straight games by 20 points. I think that's your comparison.
It's
a disaster. Terrence Jones only played 16 minutes. He was 0 of 3. I know a lot of people are excited about him. I think if you believe in Terrence Jones, tonight shouldn't dissuade you from your belief. He's just returning. Just chalking up to him returning from injury.
Yeah, and that's the thing with injuries. A lot of people want to jump the gun on every single thing they see every single night, which, relax, people. It's a long season. Terrence Jones is really good at fantasy when he can play starters minutes. He put up a really great run last year, or was it 2 years ago before he got injured? I think it was just last year. Years run together for me.
Yeah. The other guy I wanted to ask you about this game is Ty Lawson. Now, Ty Lawson's been getting a lot of playing time, and we've seen him be very, very productive in previous season, but like tonight is a very typical line of Ty Lawson. He got in 38 minutes, so a ton of playing time. He got 8 points on 3 of 11 shooting, 5 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 steals. So there's some things to like and there's some things not to like there. I feel like either Ty Lawson is at the point where he's going to stop playing so many minutes or he's going to start producing better, and in which case he would be a very valuable buy low, and I'm just not sure which way to go on him.
Yeah, if you have faith in Ty Lawson, he might be a he might be on your waiver in a week if he still is playing bad. He's one of those guys where he needs the ball in his hand to produce the at the level he used to produce at. He's not going to get those 8-9 assists a game when Harden has the ball all the time. And so playing them together doesn't make much sense because Harden needs the ball in his hand to be Harden, and Ty Lawson needs the ball in his hand to be Ty Lawson. But Ty Lawson has been on a shooting slump for about a year. And that is a big red flag to me.
That's not great.
No. He's below 40. And I mean, if this was anyone other than Ty Lawson, would you accept a below 40 field goal percentage?
Yeah, I mean, there's a short list of players that are good enough to be in that category. And you have to have, you know, you have to have the right head-to-head strategy. I don't know that you can do that in a Roto League.
Yeah, in Roto League, it's just a no-go. If you're punting field goals, sure. Go ahead. But is he – without those elite assist numbers, you know, someone like – another person who shot a horrible percentage tonight, Elfrid Payton, is a better bet than Ty Lawson because he's consistently putting up good steals and assists in Orlando's system.
Yep. One other note I wanted to get out of the way tonight: Miles Turner for the Pacers played 1 minute. He left the game with a thumb injury. I saw reports later on that it was a fracture in his thumb and that he's out indefinitely. Probably shouldn't have been rostering Miles Turner at this point based on his limited role and production. But if you were, you know, you might want to verify that it's a fractured hand, but all signs point to him being out for a while. You know, maybe you can throw him on your injured reserve if you don't have anybody else, but otherwise you can probably go ahead and officially drop him now.
Yeah, I jumped the gun on that guy. I had him as a big league ad when he was playing around 18, 19 minutes. I was like, well, if you wait on this guy, he's going to win the starting role. He looks decent.
I feel like everyone liked his potential and more than anything didn't like Jaden Nahimny. And so just assumed that he would eventually start. But this is going to be a setback.
Jaden Nahimny only suffers from having a terrible name. I think that's why people don't want him on their team. They're like, yeah, he's producing, but look at his name. Can't do it. It's too bad he got injured. I think there's some potential there. If you're definitely not standard leagues, but bigger leagues, he was going to play into that role. That was kind of what they had said, I believe, in the preseason, or at least the analysts had said. He'll probably play his way into that role. That's too bad.
Yeah. The only other performance I wanted to talk to you tonight about was, and then we can talk about anything you want to talk about.
Sure.
TJ McConnell. It seems like a very TJ McConnell game. He had 31 minutes. He was 1 for 5 from the field with 2 points. He's yet to take a free throw attempt. But he had four rebounds, 13 assists, and only 2 turnovers. So, like, what do you do with a guy like that? He seems almost elite in assists. He's going to get you so many assists. I think that means I have to roster him or keep him on my roster if I have him. But the scoring is starting to get really concerning to me.
Why did the Sixers always put together a weird point guard you've never heard of, and then they do things that you're like, wow, I think that's great, but I don't know what to do with him. McConnell has short-term value, but, you know, allegedly Tony Warden is coming back at some point. And I've also read that who do they bring on?
Kendall Marshall.
There he is, Kendall Marshall. Kendall Marshall has the starting role, is what I've seen in tweets from their beat writers.
Their D-League team today, which I don't know if that's sort of a roster space construction move or if they're going to rehab there or what, but it's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, if they're going to play into their role.
So if TJ McConnell keeps it up before those guys get back, are you okay rostering him considering he's averaging 6 points a game? If he gets you 6 points, 6 rebounds, and 9 plus assists a game. Are you okay with that?
Assists are so hard to come by. I would take him if there's just no other assists and you desperately need assists. Yeah, especially in a head-to-head league, play him. Those assists are going to be pretty valuable, and he's been consistent enough to show that he can do this. And he also gets blocks, which is
kind of strange.
He's got one of the strangest lines, consistently strange lines, but he does enough other things, and he's elite in assists for me to say you need assists in a standard league, you should be on your team.
Yeah. The JJ and I, one of the other guest hosts, he and I are going to have a celebration when he takes his first free throw attempt in the NBA. But I don't know if it's actually going to happen.
Just another baffling stat. Why is he not getting fouled?
I just think it shows his lack of aggressiveness at getting to the line. He's played 9 games. He's averaging almost 30 minutes per game, and he's yet to take a free throw attempt. So
it's got to be some sort of record. I would watch the 76ers game to find out why, but then I'd have to watch the 76ers game.
I actually like the 76ers, and I'm excited when Brett Brown ever gets a point guard that is NBA caliber to see what, because his offense always, you know, the whoever's playing point guard in his offense usually gets interesting fantasy lineup. Like, I would like to see one of the top 10 point guards in the league play for him.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful if they could get some NBA talent on that team. I do like Okafor, though, if you're punting free throws, obviously.
But he's been better than I thought.
Particularly pretty good.
Blocks.
Yeah, that's surprising, and I don't know if it's just positioning or people I'm not sure what that is. Maybe he is pretty young, so he's young enough to be athletic to get blocks, but he was not expected to be this decent at blocks. But
I definitely didn't expect him to get 20 points a game and 1.3 blocks per game. Those are both surprises to me. I did expect him to rebound a little bit better, so kind of a Brook Lopezian stat line.
Yeah, Noel kind of takes some of those rebounds away from him.
Yeah, I would have thought he took all the blocks away too, though, and he hasn't done that. Are there any other box score type stuff you want to look at from that night? I think we've covered most of the interesting stuff that I saw, but if there's something you saw, let's talk about it.
You want to check out the Denver game?
Yeah.
I know we talked about that Chandler being out and who gets I think that's one of those I kind of tend towards games where there's potential for change. So like we were saying, Gary Harris has played 28 minutes. Will Barton's only played 17. What do you think of Emmanuel Mudiay? Because when you watch D'Angelo Russell, you go, ugh, that guy's blowing plays. That guy's not playing good defense. And when you watch Mudiay, it's like, that guy's making some really great plays. That guy belongs in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I think from a fantasy perspective, you don't love the percentages at this point. I just want to make sure I'm looking at him right. So he's shooting 32% and 70% from the line in his last 5 games. That's looks like he's about 64% on the or 65% on the season. But in head to head, look, he's getting 13 points, almost 6 assists, 4 rebounds. A steal and a block and over a 3-pointer a game. So, I mean, if you tell me there's a guy out there that can get me a steal block, I don't know that the blocks will continue, but I mean, what do I know? This is guy's a total unknown. So maybe that blocks will continue. If you can get me a 3, a steal, a block and over 5 assists a game, like absolutely want that guy on my team.
Yeah. Head to head.
Particularly if you play with turnovers in Rotisserie League, I don't think you can roster him. He's averaging 5 turnovers a game.
Yeah, it's unacceptable, and he's shooting 33%. If you're one of those people who don't want to punt things in H2H, or you're in a Roto League, I don't I would still maybe even just keep him around on the bench in case he turns it around.
It's tough. I mean, I think you trade him because somebody's going to look at those assists and want to roster that dude. But
trade him to the DeAndre team or the Drummond team.
Yeah. Your roto team's probably going to be better off without him, despite what he's doing for you in the positive counting static categories. Anything else you want to talk about from tonight's box scores?
Yeah, what do you make of Kenneth Faried? He's an enigma to me. Sometimes I want to really love Kenneth Faried. I like Kenneth Faried in general. Just is he going to put together a really great season ever, or do we kind of know what he is?
I think we know what he is, and I think it's pretty darn good. I mean, this season so far in 28 minutes, like he's just – I don't think he's the type of player – I don't know if that's because of the way he plays or what. I don't think he's ever going to play 35 minutes a game.
Yeah.
I think, you know, low 30s or high 20s is what you're going to get from him, and so that's going to limit what he can give you. But so far this season, 14 points, 10 rebounds. He's never going to be great in the blocks and steals categories. He's going to shoot a high percentage. He's not going to be great at free throws. So I think that's all going to, like, those few things, the limited minutes and the defensive stats are going to limit his value. But if you're looking for a guy who's going to be really, really good on rebounds, he's going to get you some scoring, he's going to shoot a high percentage, I think he fits into, like, that category.
Yeah, a lot of people had him pegged as taking a leap this year, though. And I just don't see it. He's 26, you know?
Yeah, I think this is – I mean, I think last year is probably a down year because I don't think he loved playing for Brian Shaw. But usually, as far as stats go, I don't think that makes a tremendous amount of difference.
Yeah, they're touting this new system and how he would thrive. I just think he is this player. Like, this is what he's going to do for the next 4 to 5 years.
Yep, totally.
I think a little overrated when you draft him where he goes in drafts compared to his value.
Yep, agreed. A couple notes for tomorrow's games. We only have 3 games on the slate tomorrow, but I haven't got the full news on all the Minnesota players that set out last game, but we do know Ricky Rubio is probable. And in the Utah game, Rudy Gobert hurt his foot last game versus the Cavs. I believe he finished that game or at least played through it a little bit, but he is questionable for Thursday night. So if you have Rudy Gobert in your lineup, make sure to check on his status before tip-off. So I think that's all of our news for tonight, Mike.
Great.
Thanks.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. It was fun talking with you through these box scores.
Yeah, I'm glad you got to talk about basketball. thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Any chance to talk about fantasy basketball?
Yeah. Remind people one more time where they can find you.
Sure. You can find me on Twitter at WatchTheBoxes. And you can find me on the internet at watchtheboxes.com. Most of my stuff will be posted there and linked there. And if you have anything you want to see or feedback, let me know. I'm open to new ideas. And I'd like to write a little bit more about strategy, considering there seems to be a lot of new fantasy basketball people out there. So I think there might be a market for kind of philosophy of fantasy basketball more than just reading the waiver wire.
And at some point we'll have you on to talk about your love of rotisserie leagues versus head-to-head leagues.
Oh yeah. I have a story. I'll have to save
that for next another time, I think.
Yeah. Save that. Go roto all the way. Save that. I'd love to talk about that.
All right. Thanks again, Mike. Thanks everyone for listening. I'm Mark Roberts, and you can find me on Twitter at Mark F. Roberts. And that's Mark with a C. I'll look forward to talking with you guys or talking about basketball again tomorrow night and hope that you will join in. Thank you. Bye-bye.